All right, question. How many want to learn from your mistakes in the past? All right, how many want to have wisdom and faith for the present? And how many want to look forward with anticipation for the future? And so it's very likely here, you're here today and maybe you're looking back on the past, but you can't undo the past, but we can learn from our mistakes in the past. We can, by faith, and use wisdom in the present, and then look with anticipation for the future. I want to share something the Lord has on my heart today with you, and it's this. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. I don't know about you, but I can tell you about my sweet mom. My mom was 68 years old before the Lord Jesus saved her. I'll never forget talking with my mom. My mom was a good moral mom, and I praise the Lord for her love, her sacrifice, her dedication as a mom. However, my mom had a drinking problem, and it seemed like the demons of alcoholism really began to take its toll on my mom, my sweet mom. I prayed for her, as you've heard me share numerous times, for 22 years. 22 years. So don't give up on your mom, and don't give up on your children. And finally, the breakthrough came on October the 21st in 2004. I'll never forget it. My mom, praise the Lord, passed from death unto life. She said, Jesus, save me. And one of my greatest thrills in all of life was to have led my sweet mom to Jesus and then preaching her home-going service just 2 years afterwards. And so, if your mom's still living today, I want to tell you, you need to love on your mom. You need to kiss your mom. You need to hug your mom. You need to tell her you love her, because it may come a time when you won't have that opportunity. And so, may God help you to do it today. Well, speaking of mom, somebody said, every mom is physically handicapped. Did you know that? Every mom is physically handicapped. What do I mean by that? Every mom only has two hands, all right? Only two hands. I love the story of the two little boys were bragging. You know, boys always like to brag. One of them said to the other, said, my daddy can beat up your daddy. The other boy said, my daddy can beat up your daddy. And finally, the third boy chimed in and said, that's nothing. My mom can beat up my daddy. That's not saying a whole lot. But I want to tell you something. Tell me, have you discovered, listen, have you discovered happiness and holiness and hope in the Lord? Today we're going to look at four mamas. God put it on my heart this week. Four mamas in the Bible that discovered happiness and holiness and hope in the Lord. They found their purpose for living. Some of you mamas, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you're discouraged today. Maybe you're down today. Maybe you've had a hard time and you feel like you're not appreciated, or you feel like people are taking advantage of you. I want to tell you, if you discover who you are in Jesus, it will absolutely set you free. And so I hope you've got your Bibles today, and I hope that you're listening today, because there are four mamas in the Bible that we're going to see today that absolutely discovered happiness and holiness and hope in the Lord. And so, if you got your Bibles with you, you'll notice with me, not only I'm praying for God to bless all the mothers, I like this, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. That's Proverbs chapter 31. And you're well aware, Proverbs 31 is the great love, devotion to mothers. Her price is absolutely just priceless. Her value. Happy Mother's Day. And so here's where we're going in the message. Number one, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Four mamas. You and I need to look at four mamas this morning. And we're going to see these four mamas found happiness. And you can too. And not only mamas, but daddies today can find happiness and can find holiness and can find help and hope in the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, the first mama we're going to look at today is who I call a mountain-moving mama. A mountain-moving mama. Say that with me. A mountain-moving mama. Say it again. One more time. A mountain. How many want to be a mountain-moving mama? I said, how many want to be a mountain? If y'all don't want to be a mountain-moving mama, that's fine. You'll never be one. But if you want to be a mountain-moving mama, I'm telling you, God will give you the faith to move mountains. And we're going to look at a mountain-moving mama. But number two, the second mama we'll look at is not only a mountain-moving mama, but a, watch this, a mixed-up and messed-up, but a makeup mama. I'll give you all the points in a moment, but just hang with me. Number three, the third mama we're going to look at is a ministry or a mission-motivated, a mission-minded mama, a mission-minded mama. And we'll see that in a moment in the book of Luke chapter 1. But the fourth mama we're going to look at today is a merciful-motivated mama. We'll find that in the book of Matthew chapter 15. And but for the sake of it, first of all, if you'll notice, number one, we'll find a mountain-moving mama in chapter 1 of the book of 1 Samuel. If you have that, would you stand to your feet? I want to read just one or two verses here as we go through these mamas that God put on the heart, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Yes, it will, because many of you are discouraged today. You're down in the dumps today. 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and here is the word of the Lord. You'll notice that the word of God tells us that in verse 5 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5, zero in on it just for a moment. But unto Hannah, her name means charming, her name means grace, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Father, I thank you for the word of God today. I thank you for your presence, your power, your glory. We love you today because of your love. I pray, Father, that your manifested presence would be known. And I thank you for the mamas here. We pray you'll change us. We pray, Father, you'll motivate us. And God, the mamas that are depressed and discouraged, Lord, that you'll lift them up today. Lord, let them know that you see everything that you know when they lie down, when they stand up, and you see the things they do behind the scenes. And though they feel unappreciated and though they feel unthanked, God, you said you will reward. And we thank you for that great promise, and I want to bless you for saving my mama. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for saving mama. Oh, God, I thank you. Mama's not in hell today, but she's in heaven today, and I look forward to seeing my mama one day. I pray, dear God, you'll help us to be concerned about mamas up and down the road and all around us in our families that aren't ready to meet you. Dear Lord, that you'll send forth your Holy Ghost conviction and power and bring them to repentance and saving faith. Lord, we thank you for the mamas you saved in the midst of us today. And we bless you for the dedication and the sacrifices of so many mamas here today. I thank you for their role model. I thank you, dear God, for their example. Lord, I know there's no perfect mamas here today and there's no perfect children here today, but you are the one that gives us grace, because where sin abounds, grace as much will abound. And I confess I'm nothing without you, but I pray, Spirit of the living God, wash me thoroughly, Jesus, in your precious blood. And God, may the Lord give us ears to hear and hearts to receive the incorruptible, indestructible word. And I thank you for every mama and grandmamas and those mamas to be, and Father, the daddies and all that are gathered today. And we just ask you, God, to change us, and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen, and amen, and amen. You may be seated. I want to tell you about this mama right here, okay? This mama in the Bible. Listen to me, beloved. She had a husband named Elkanah. And Elkanah was a man who had, believe it or not, I can't believe it, but hey, Elkanah had, watch this, two wives. Not one, but two wives. How many know that's one too many? Come on, say amen. Well, I mean, bless the Lord. How many got one wife? Bless the Lord. If that's not enough for you to stay busy, all right? My wife and I have been married 37 years. Praise God. I can't imagine having two wives. But anyway, Elkanah had two wives. One of them's name was Peninnah. Say that with me. Peninnah. Say it again. Peninnah. The other one's name was Hannah. Say that name with me. Hannah. One more time. Hannah. Hannah's name means grace. Hannah's name means charming. Wait a minute. But Elkanah, her husband, loved Hannah more than he loved his other wife, Peninnah. But guess what? Hannah had no children. How many know that was a curse in the Jewish custom? If you didn't have a child, you were looked at as if something was wrong. Therefore, Hannah wanted a baby. But you know what, beloved? The Bible says God shut up her womb. We read it a minute ago. God shut up her womb. Say it with me. God shut up her womb. Say it again. You believe God will shut up a womb? The Bible says that the Lord shut up Hannah's womb. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Listen to me. Look up here just a moment. I had two calls, at least two this week, of mamas. You know why? Heartbroken mamas. Burdened mamas. Troubled over what? Their children. And probably many of you today are the same way. Heartbroken. Burdened. Troubled. Over maybe your children or grandchildren. Hannah had a burden. What do you do when you got a burden? What do you do when you don't know what to do? I'll tell you what you do. Number one, if you'll notice on the screen, here's what I want you to pray today. This is going to be very practical. You ready for it? Three steps you can take when there's things you can't control. Number one, pray for, look at it, peace. Pray for God's peace to accept the things you can't control. You see it? Pray for God's peace to deal with the things you can't change. Well, what did Hannah do? Hannah decided she was not going to just sit back and do nothing. Rather, Hannah decided she's going to take it to the Lord. How many believe that's a good idea? Amen. I said, how many believe that's a good idea? Amen. How many are going to do that today? Amen. What you need to do today is pray, God, give me peace. Hey, Garrett, turn me down a little bit. I think I'm a little bit too loud there. Thank you, brother, for operating that sound system. Hey, listen, God, give me peace to accept the things we cannot change. How many are troubled today? Oh, listen, you don't have to take antidepressant medicines. You don't have to go off on the deep end psychologically. Why? We serve a God that can help you carry your burden. I said, we serve a God that's great big. I don't care what you face. There might be a mountain in your way, but how many believe the God we serve can move mountains? You can ask him to do it. Jesus said, whatsoever things you ask believing, you shall receive. Well, Hannah, what'd she do? She asked for peace to accept the things she couldn't change. Now, she couldn't help the fact that the Lord had shut up her womb. Oh, no, she couldn't help that. But do you know where she went? Watch this. She went down to the tabernacle. Well, what was the tabernacle? The tabernacle was a place where God Almighty was worshipped. It was designated by Moses in the book of Exodus, chapter 35, following. And, by the way, you know where that tabernacle was located? If you read 1 Samuel chapter 1, you'll find it located in a place called Shiloh. Say that with me. Shiloh. Say it again. I know you call it Shiloh, but the correct pronunciation is Shiloh, okay? Shiloh. Say it with me. Shiloh. You've learned a new word today. Shiloh. Shiloh was where the Ark of the Covenant was kept for how long? 350 years. Until David took the Ark of the Covenant, took it back to Jerusalem to make it not only the political capital, chapter 5, but the spiritual capital, chapter 6, and the eternal capital, chapter 7 of 2 Samuel. And therefore, the ark and the temple was built in Jerusalem. But wait a minute, at the time of Hannah, it was over in Shiloh. Say it with me. Shiloh. Say it again. All right. And so what does she do? She goes to the temple, and she's heavy-hearted. She's burdened. She's praying, and you're praying this. God, help me. To Lord, give me peace to accept the things that I can't change. But number two, pray for God's power to change the things you can. Hey, this is going to set you free. I tell you, the Lord gave me this as far as these principles. I don't know about you, but I pray this just about every day. And I want to challenge you. You need to pray this every day. Can you hear me? Pray this every day. God, give me peace to accept the things I can't change. God, give me power to change the things I can. God, give me your presence to know the difference. You know where I got that from? I studied that little saying, God, give me serenity to accept the things I can't change, and courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. How many have ever heard that or seen that? Well, I got to thinking about that. I said, well, that's a good saying, but wait a minute. God, give me peace. Peace that passes understanding. And some of you need peace today. Some of you trouble. Why are you trouble? What is it going to take to make you happy? Will you find happiness and holiness and hope in the Lord? If you take it to the Lord, you'll find happiness and holiness and hope in the Lord. Number two, God, give me power to accept the things I can't change. And then number three, God, pray for God to give you His presence. Pray for God's, watch this, number three, presence. God's presence to know the difference. Our problem, see if you're with me now, look up here, see if you're with me. Our problem is we want to change things we can't change. And we want to change people we can't change. And so rather than trying to change everybody around us and change all our circumstances, it's better to pray, God, give me your peace to accept the things I can't change. But wait a minute, there's some things I can change. What is it today? I said, what is it today God is wanting to change in your heart? What is it today? You need to say, Lord, I need your peace today. Lord, I've been troubled about my finances. Lord, I've been troubled about bad decisions my children are making. God, I've been worried about the future for my grandchildren. Oh, God, give me peace today. You are my peace. And I'm glad to tell you, He will. He'll do it. And so, Hannah, I can see her right now. She goes to the tabernacle. She's heavy-hearted. She feels lonely. She feels empty. Is there anybody here today that says, I feel empty? I feel lonely. I feel like nobody knows what I'm going through. You're saying that right now. Your head's down, but you're listening, I can tell. I feel lonely, Lord. And so Hannah goes to the temple, and that is to the tabernacle, and she begins to cry out to God in her heart. And guess who's there? There's a man by the name of Eli. He just so happens he's the high priest. And you know what? He looks at Hannah. She's heartbroken. She had to learn to take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Where could I go but to the Lord? And so you know what she does? I'll tell you what she does. She goes over to the tabernacle and says, she begins to cry out to God and say, dear God, I'm childless, I'm barren, Lord. I don't know what to do. I want you to... And she begins to cry out to God. I'm telling you, it's not a waste of time to cry out to God. It's not a waste of time to get at the feet of Jesus. Mamas, today, if you get a hold of the Lord, it'll absolutely give you peace. You don't have to leave worried today. You don't have to leave with a heavy heart. And so Hannah begins to pray. Her lips are not moving. And Eli, the priest, thinks she's drunk. That's right. He said, you've been drinking too much, woman. Why? She has a heartache. Can I tell you something? If you crying out to God and if you walk in the Spirit, people are going to think you're drunk too. They're going to think you walked off the deep end. I got news for you. I'd rather be on the deep end with Jesus than in the shallow end without Him. It don't matter what people say about me. What matters is what God knows about you. Don't worry about people. Be concerned about God. And so Hannah says, no, I haven't been drinking anything. And you know what Eli said? Eli said, the Lord has heard your cry. That's a good thing to hear. I've heard your cry, said Eli. And you know what she did? She prayed for power. She not only prayed for peace to accept the things she couldn't change, but wait a minute, power to change the things she can. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? You know what she did after she left the tabernacle? Guess what she did? She didn't say, well, bless God, now I'm pregnant. I prayed and God said, I'm going to have a baby, now I'm pregnant. Newsflash, she went home and the Bible says Elkanah knew his wife. For those of you that don't know what that means, it means he had intimacy with his wife and therefore she conceived after she went home. Why am I telling you that? I'm telling you why I'm telling you that. Sometimes God expects you to follow up on what God tells you to do. Don't just sit here and say, oh, blessed assurance, you know, and I'm going to do it. You've got to follow up. You've got to follow up on what God's telling you to do. What's God telling you to do today? What's God telling you to do today? Need to follow up. Don't just hear the word, do is the word, because faith without works is dead. Hannah went home and she knew her husband. That is, he knew her, Elkanah. And next thing you know, she conceives a baby. Speaking of that, I heard about a lady that was having a child, and she couldn't make it to the ER, to the delivery room. And so they made a makeshift delivery room. Her little four-year-old daughter was standing there, and the paramedics were helping Mama deliver that baby. And about the time that little baby boy was delivered, that little baby boy had trouble breathing, and about that time, the paramedics popped that little honey, and that baby started breathing and crying at the top of his lungs. And the paramedic looked at the little four-year-old girl and said, "What do you think about that?" Little girl scratched her head and said, "Slap him again. He shouldn't have been there in the first place." Anyway, hey, it's all right. Number one, Hannah, a mountain moving mama. Can I tell y'all something? True story. It was not long ago. Matter of fact, it was a few years ago. A couple came to me. They said, "Pastor, we're not able to have children." I said, "Okay. Have you prayed about it?" I said, "Well, not really. We've been to this clinic. We've been to that clinic. We tried this artificial deal. We tried this and that, but to no avail." I said, "Well, let's get God involved." How many believe it's a good idea to get God involved? Y'all don't believe that? Come on, man. Talk to me. This is New Rocky Creek, isn't it? Hello. Do you believe it's important to get God involved? Absolutely. Well, what happened then? We prayed and said, "God, will you do something that man can't do?" She had a baby. The mama had a baby. Guess what? She not only had one baby, she had two babies. Praise the Lord. Amen. But wait a minute. Guess what? After that, I was at a funeral. It's only a little while back. I was standing there at the graveside of a loved one. And a couple came up to me and they said, "Pastor, we're not able to have children. We're not able to have children. We want children. Will you pray with us about God giving us a child?" I said, "I'll sure pray with you about God giving you a child." And I'm still praying for that couple right now. They hadn't had the child yet, but I'm praying for them. And the Lord reminds me to lift them up. By the way, it wasn't long before that, about 8 years ago, I was out there in the parking lot on the other side of the old sanctuary. And a man came up to me and he said, "Pastor," he said, "we don't have any children. My wife and I have been trying to have children and we can't have children. Will you pray with me?" I said, "Sure, let's pray together." How many believe that God answers prayer? Y'all don't believe that? Come on now. God answers prayer. And we have not because we ask not. Well, anyway, we got in the car and sat out there in the parking lot till over past midnight. God began to put a burden on my heart. Hey, listen to me, look at me. It's never happened before, and it's never happened since. But as we began to pray, I said, "Dear God, please, for your glory, give this family, this couple a child." They didn't have any children. And then I'll never forget, when we finished praying, I looked at the daddy. You know, I said, we prayed for a long time. It was after midnight. Somebody say amen. God shows up after midnight, you know, and before midnight. Hallelujah. But wait a minute. Are you willing to stay with God? Are you willing to stay with God? Are you willing to believe God by faith? Please listen to me. Why isn't God moving mountains in your life? Why isn't God moving mountains in your life? Why are you doubting God? Why are you having such little faith? Hey, God's never done this since that time. I looked at that man, I said to him, "Go home and get the nursery ready. You've got a baby on the way." I don't know why I said it, other than the Lord put it in my heart to do it. Well, guess what? I was at the delivery room with that particular couple. The baby was born at 2:46 a.m. in the morning on February the 8th. And you figured out who it was. There's nobody that's in here right now. I'm telling you, God, he can open a womb. God can move some mountains. And some of you up to get some mountains, aren't you? Oh, yes. Number one, look with me about a mountain-moving mama. Yes, a mama who was able to move mountains, Hannah. Number two, there's a mixed up and messed up, but a makeup. I like to use that word makeup. The Lord gave me that. Don't get hung up on that. There's a mixed up and a messed up mama, but she's a makeup mama. Now that we go, not only the faith moving mountain, but number two, a mixed up and messed up, but a makeup mama. We turn to the book of Genesis chapter 2. Look at Genesis chapter 2. You know what we'll find in Genesis 2? We'll find another mother. You know what her name is? Eve. You know what Eve's name means? Her name means mother of all living. Why? Because she's the first mom. Eve, follow me. Now, Eve discovered happiness and holiness. Eve discovered hope in the Lord, and you can too. Watch the scenario, the narrative unfold before your very eyes. As we look at the book of Genesis, Moses records these words that God made a man from the dust of the earth, and he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. However, that man named Adam had not a helper. He had not a companion. And he looked around and he saw all the animals. They had companions. Mr. Hippo had Miss Hippo. Mr. Lizard had Miss Lizard. But he did not have somebody to complete him. And therefore, you know what God did? It's found in the first chapter of the book of Genesis. And it's found in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, namely verse 8 and following. You know what God did? God put Adam to sleep. You know what that word sleep is in the Hebrew? It means, it's the word anesthesia. That's right. God gave him some sleep. And you know what it did? I'll tell you what it did. He opened that side of that man. Do you know the Hebrew word for the word that says he got a rib? Oh, it's the Hebrew word tozla, or tozla. You can say it with me. God made Eve from Adam's rib. The Hebrew word again. He took it from the side. Why a rib? I've often said, and I say it again, men, you can call your wife your prime rib, all right? They came out of your rib. But wait a minute. God said, and I want to propose, and I don't have these written down, you're going to have to write them down, three keys to being happy and holy and have hope in the Lord. You ready for them? Number one, I'm still using the text of Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. I'll come back to it in a moment. Number one, do you know God's intention? Number one, do you know God's intention? That means, do you know why you're here? Do you understand this not just to live for yourself, but it's to live for the glory of God? Do you understand that God has a plan for your life? How many believe that God has a plan for your life? How many mamas believe that God has a plan for your life? Well, how many daddies believe that God has a plan for you? Well, God's got a plan for your life, and when you discover it, that's when you're going to discover happiness. That's when you're going to discover holiness. That's when you're going to discover hope. God's got a plan for me. God made me to bring security. He's my security, my significance, and my purpose for living. Yea, my purpose for dying. And so, number one, do you know God's intention? God gave Adam a wife, Eve. Why? To complete him. Why? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. Paul said that the wife, the mother, is to manage the home, to rule over the children, to manage the home. She's able to multitask. But wait a minute. Not only do you know God's intention, but number two, as we go a little further in this text, y'all look up here now, wake yourself up. Number two, are you aware of Satan's deception? Are you aware of Satan's deception? What I mean, look at this. Satan's deception. Eve was placed in the garden. God told Adam, do anything, but do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In the day you eat it, you surely die. However, the devil, a dirty devil disguised as a serpent, he had already plotted and planted. Why? Because Adam had authority, dominion over all the earth, the animals, etc. And Lucifer, who fell and became the devil, when he rebelled against God in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28, Lucifer wanted power. Lucifer wanted control, and that's why it's called the prince of the power of the air. Anyway, God said, don't eat it. Eve, do you know the devil's deception? Are you aware of the devil's deception? I'll tell you what, the devil will deceive you like that. And there's Eve. She saw the fruit was good. It doesn't say it was an apple. It says fruit. We all say apple. It wasn't an apple. Many scholars don't believe apples were even able to be produced in those places, Mesopotamia. Or I really personally believe it could very well be where the Temple Mount is right now in Jerusalem. By the way, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Tomorrow, May the 14th, will mark the 70th year Israel's become a nation. And the church said, woo! I'm the only one clapping. Do Y'all know how significant tomorrow is? Do you? Hey, do you know the devil's deception? He's come to deceive. In fact, Jesus said in the last days, chapter 24, verse 4, verse 5, verse 11, verse 24, are deception, 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 deception. And I want to tell you something. Look up here. Look up here, please. Please, everybody, look up here. You can be deceived. You believe that? I can be deceived. He that thinks he stand and takes heed lest he fall. When a man thinks he's something, when he's nothing, he deceives himself. You can be deceived. And I want to tell you something. We're seeing the devil's dirty deception. And so Eve saw the fruit that was good to eat and make her one wise. And the devil said, God hadn't really said that. We can do anything but eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The day we eat it, we'll surely die. Time out, time out. God didn't say that. The devil's lying to you. I said, the devil's lying to you. I said, the devil's a liar. I said, the devil's a liar. I said, you need to see the devil as a liar. You need to hate the devil. You need to declare war on the devil. He's not your friend. The sooner you find that out, the better off you are. He's not your friend. He's your enemy. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. Eve saw the fruit. She ate of the fruit. She partook of it. She gave her husband. He did eat it. God came and said, Adam, where art thou? God knew where it was at. By the way, do you know when we're right with God and we walk into the garden like Adam and Eve were? When we're in fellowship with God, we're not hiding. But when we're not walking with God, we hide. God, where are you? I don't know where you're at, Lord, but I'm going to hide. I'm going to find some fig leaves. And Adam, where are you? I'm going to hide, Lord. I'm going to hide. And nobody's going to find out where I'm at. Adam, what have you done? What have you done? God knew what he did. He ate the fruit. And Adam said, it's that woman you gave me. It's that woman's fault. And the woman said, it's the devil's fault, that serpent. What'd the serpent do? He didn't have a leg to stand on. Hey, look. Eve messed up. Adam messed up. Messed up, mixed up. But wait a minute. They made up. Make up. What I mean? The story continues in the book of Genesis, chapter 4. What happens in chapter 4? After the creation of Adam and Eve, after God's blessing on their life, after Eve had partaken of the fruit and was ejected out of the garden, after God had pronounced judgment on Eve, pain bearing while child bearing, and after God pronounced judgment on Adam, the thorns and the thistle would grow up from the earth and he would work it with the sweat of his brow. After God pronounced judgment on the serpent and ultimately said, you will bruise him, the seed of the woman, namely Jesus, on his heel, but he will bruise you on your head. That is, Jesus would crush the head of the devil, serpent. But wait a minute. What happened after that? Chapter 4 of the book of Genesis, you know what happened? Adam and Eve had two boys. What were their names? All right, Cain and Abel. Somebody said Adam and Eve were a little rowdy. They raised a little Cain, all right? And they had a little Cain they raised. I don't know about that, but I know this. Adam and Eve raised a little Cain and a little Abel. Here's a mama who doesn't have a mama. Here's a mama who has no competition with her husband. Some of you ladies say amen. Here's a mama and a son, two sons. And the two sons can't blame it on their granddaddy. Hello? They had no granddaddy. Well, I'm an alcoholic because my granddaddy was an alcoholic. Bah! Wrong. We choose. Our choices are what we make. That's what makes the difference. And so here's Cain and Abel. Abel was a keeper of flock. Cain was a tiller of the ground. You know what Cain's problem was? Mark it down. Cain's problem, he had a heart problem. And his heart problem led to a head problem. And his head problem led to a hand problem. and his hand problem led to a hell problem. What I mean? The problem with the heart is the heart of the problem. Cain thought he could come to God any old way. Y'all look at me. You can't come to God any old way. You got to come to God the blood sprinkled way. God's made the way to access to his throne of grace, and the only way to be saved is through Jesus. Adam and Eve understood by faith they had to trust God, and Cain had to learn like men have to learn today. It's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And Cain thought it could come to God by offering the fruit of the land, and God said no. He rejected Cain's offering. Somebody says, well, was it because it wasn't the best? No, it's because he didn't come to God the way God intended him to come. The sacrifice was not what God required. The life of the flesh is in the blood. For this reason, you say, but how did Abel know that? I'm glad you asked that. Evidently, God told him. End of story. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by... Just because the Bible doesn't say God came to Abel and said, this is what I want, doesn't mean God didn't do it. And I'm on the opinion that he did. You know why? I based that on Hebrews 11. By faith, Abel offered a more acceptable sacrifice. Well, how do you know that if God didn't tell him that? Hello, end of story. Here is Cain. God says, nope, your sacrifice isn't adequate. Here's Abel. He accepts it. Well, what does Cain do? Cain is mad as a hornet. How many know a hornet can get real mad? You stir up a hornet's nest or a yellow jacket nest, somebody say amen, and it'll get after you. Cain is angry. You can read it in chapter 4 of the book of Genesis. Remember, do you know God's intention? Are you aware of Satan's deception? And number 3, here it is, write it down. Are you ready for life's confusion? Write that down. Are you ready for life? Write it down. You need to write it down. I'm telling you, please, write it down. Why? Because I talked with two mamas last week, and you're asking the same question. Are you ready for life's confusion? How many know sometimes life can be confusing? Come on now. We're at church, but let's be real, all right? Let's be real. You're sitting there today. You're wondering, God... I'm trying to serve you. I love you. I'm reading your word. I'm praying. I'm trying to do everything that I think ought to be right. And God, why is this happening to me? Life can be confusing. Think what Eve thought. The Bible says about Cain. Cain, if you do right, everything will be all right. Cain, if you do wrong, sin croucheth at the door. It's like a wild animal. So God told Cain. Cain was mad. Is there anybody here mad? Angry? Bitter? Towards somebody in your family? Towards something that's happening on your job? Well, Cain, be careful about that anger. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Ephesians 4:26. But be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Watch this. Cain grew angry. Know what he did? He rose up. See, you nurse it, you curse it, you rehearse it. And the more he thought about my brother Abel and the anger, he had a head problem, a heart problem, then a hand problem. He killed his brother Abel. It led to a hell problem. What is Eve thinking? I said, what is Eve thinking? Dear God, why is this happening to my family? What have I done, Lord? How many know that we all are sinners by nature, choice, and birth? How many know that what a man sows, that's what he reaps? Oh, I wish I didn't have to tell you this. Are you ready for life's confusion? Some of us today are sitting there saying, God, I hadn't been a bad person, and God, all this stuff has happened to me, and dear God... I told you, I got 2 calls this week. Some of you mamas, you're right here today wondering, Lord, why is this stuff happening in my life? Why are my children rebelling? Why is this going on? What in the world's going on? Mixed up, messed up, but make up. What I mean by make up? You know what God said? You know what God told Eve? God said, I'm going to give you another child in the place of Abel. Happiness, hope, holiness. Who was that child? A boy named Seth. By the way, hey, this is for a whole nother message. Y'all ready for this? It's a whole nother message. Guess what son Cain had? You ready for this? A boy named Enoch. Tell me about Enoch. He walked with God. You see the picture? You see where I'm going with it? That's for maybe Father's Day. Did you hear what I just said? Cain was the father of Enoch. Wait. I was at the hospital 18 years ago, April the 14th. I was with a couple named Todd and Lee Moss. Todd and Lee had a little baby named William. You know the story. William died. I don't know if you've ever been in a hospital room with a baby that had just died. I know William had his daughter. Erin just had a baby that just died as well. Robin. I stood there as the baby was lifeless, and here's a mama and Lee and Todd, and they're wondering about the confusion in life, and they're wondering. Todd had just been saved on January the 2nd in the year 2000, 18 years ago, and I remember weeping with the family and heartbroken for the family, and I remember not knowing what to say and not knowing what to do, and finally when the dust cleared, God gave me a word to share with them. I said, the Lord, if he chooses, will give you another child like a Seth. The rest of the story, they had a little girl adopted named Savannah. She's 10 years old. They had a little girl named Gracie. She's 8 years old. We stood 18 years. We stood back April the 14th, just a few weeks ago. We stood, little we know, 18 years ago. We'd be standing at the bedside of that mama, Lee, 49 years old. And there would be her daughter, Gracie, at the age of 8. And there would be Savannah, their hearts breaking, weeping and crying and tears streaming down their face. And here's the mama. I remember visiting with Lee at the hospital over in Newton County. And Lee said, Brother Randy, I don't want to die, but God's will be done. Messed up, mixed up, and then make up. Oh, listen, beloved. Happiness, holiness, and hope with the Lord. There's a third mama I want you to see today as we go through this. We've only got one more mama after this. Who was the third mama? Not only did we look at a mountain moving mama, not only number two did we look at a messed up, mixed up, and made up mama, or a, oh, listen, number three. This will bless you, mamas. How many need a blessing? Mamas need a blessing. This mama right here is a mission-minded mama. How many of you mamas are mission-minded? Amen. All right. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Here it is right here. Mission-minded mama. Luke, chapter 1. We turn back over to Luke, chapter 1. And here in Luke chapter 1 is the account that the physician and the historian pinpoints and elaborates in the text. Let me tell you, as you're going to Luke chapter 1, there's a man. His name is Zacharias. Say that name with me. Zacharias. Say that name again. Zacharias. And Zacharias has a wife. You know her name is? Say it again. Zacharias' name, wife's name is what? Elizabeth. Say it with me. Elizabeth. Say it again. Elizabeth. What does Elizabeth's name mean? Elizabeth's name means God is satisfaction. Wait a minute. They had a problem. Here's a mission-minded mama. What kind of problem they had? They had a problem. Zacharias' wife was well up in age, and she was without a child. She was barren. And Zacharias didn't have any children. And Zacharias is in the temple. He's doing his yearly priestly duties. And it's probably during the time of what we call the Feast of Tabernacles. And Zacharias has a visitation of an angel. And an angel says to Zacharias, your wife's going to have a baby. And in fact, the angel even told Zacharias what the baby's name would be. Zacharias couldn't talk after that. He was mute. And then the Bible says that when Zacharias' duties were finished, he went and he knew his wife. The Hebrew word, by the way, is yada. He knew his wife, and therefore she conceived. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a lady by the name of Elizabeth. Let me tell you about this mission-minded mama. Don't you want to be mission-minded? Hey, look, this mission-minded mama, you know what she did? I want you to learn these three truths that are transformed. Three truths that are transformed under this heading. Mission-minded mama. You ready for them? Three truths that are transformed. You ready for them? Number one. If you'll notice in Luke chapter 1, verse 25, 24 and 25. You can write the text down. If you want to be a mission-minded mama, number one, you've got to give God the glory. Always give God the glory. Let's say that together. Always give God the glory. Say it again. Always give God the glory. Some of you are not giving God glory. You think, well, I've made it this far. I'm tell you what. Life can end just like that. You need to realize that we are all blessed beyond measure and we need to give God the glory. Are you thankful for your health? How many thank God for your health today? How many thank God for your family today? How many thank God for your job today? How many thank God for His blessings today? We need to be a people that are thankful to God. If you don't, you got an ungrateful spirit, I'll tell you. God can fix that real quick. He can fix it real quick. So let's be a thankful people. Elizabeth became pregnant. She was thankful. She rejoiced in the Lord. She said, thank you, Lord, you remembered your handmaid. But number two, Elizabeth, if you're going to be a mission-minded mama, you got to be spirit-filled. You got to be spirit-filled. You got to be spirit-filled. Where I find that? In the book of Luke, chapter 1, 40, 41, 42. You got to be. Did you write that down? You got to be spirit-filled. If you're not spirit-filled, you're not going to be mission-minded. Oh, you might be flesh-minded. You might be doing some things for God, but God is not going to have His anointing on your life until you come under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You can do this and that, and I'm afraid to say that in church today, we do so much church work that if we're not careful, we can substitute our church work for our relationship with God. And I thank God for church work. I'm a pastor, obviously. But nothing should take the place of your relationship with God. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Main thing. All right, so be spirit-filled. Mary shows up at Elizabeth's house 6 months later, and you know what she says? The baby leaped, and the Bible says Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit. God, fill us today. Can I tell y'all this? I'm not being critical. I'm not being judgmental. I'm preaching myself. Y'all listen to me. Far too many Christians today, not just talking about folks in New Rocky Creek, although here I go yet by the grace of God, and I've far many Christians today are fleshly minded. They're not spiritually minded. We live in a flesh-driven society. They want flesh on Sunday morning, entertain the flesh, and entertain the flesh all the time. No spiritual mindedness, not willing to stay with God and pray, fast and pray, not willing to get in the Word of God and let God change you. Flesh-driven. All about self. And we've got some real issues and real challenges today in the Christian church today. Are you a spirit-filled mama? I love you and I thank God for you. Are you a spirit-filled daddy? Am I spirit-filled God? Am I dominated by the flesh? Do I just click on a little button on Sunday and try to be spiritual on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday I'm flesh-filled, I'm flesh-dominated? It ain't going to work. If we're dominated by the flesh Monday through Saturday, and then Sunday we think we're going to click a button and all of a sudden become a spirit-filled Christian, it ain't going to work. Some of us today need to get with God and say, God, I'm too dominated by the flesh. I live by my feelings, but not by faith. I have been abandoned in reading your word and spending time with you. I've been responding with a knee-jerk reaction of everything's going on around me. I'm making mistakes. Oh, but today, God says today, it's a new day for you. Yes, it is. Number three, if we're going to be mission-minded, you can't listen to what they say. Don't listen to what they say. Why? If you look in Luke chapter 1, you'll find out after Elizabeth found out she was pregnant with this baby, you know what? She was getting ready to dedicate him to the Lord the eighth day. And have him circumcised as the custom was. And so in Luke chapter 1, you'll notice, I want you to see this. Look at this. In verse number 58, 59, and 60, they said to Elizabeth, they said, what's the boy's name going to be? No, they said Zach. No, they said Zach. No, no, no. They said his name is going to be Zach. Why? Because it was Zach Jr., you understand? They said. But what did Elizabeth say? What did Elizabeth say? His name's going to be John. You can't listen to they. If you want God's blessing, don't listen to they. Listen to God. Oh, I praise God. You got to listen to God. Too many of us are listening today. You call your friends, you want their advice. They're not walking with God. Don't take some bad counsel. Don't get on the phone and talk with somebody who's so worldly and carnal and they're not living for God or living for the Lord Jesus. Find somebody that's walking with God and is going to speak the truth in love. Hey, they said and they get us in trouble. Today, some of you young people, I'm not telling you not like your friends, but I'm telling you this. Some friends, you're going to have to turn your back and say, God, you're more important than me. Listen to me, young people. You want to be cool. You want to hang out and smoke and drink and all that stuff with your friends. You want to have sex and all that stuff with your friends. You might put your hand on a burner on a stove one time, but you'll do it just one time. God's telling you, listen, I love you. God's telling you, be not deceived. Hey, don't listen to they, listen to God. I know you're tired of this. I know you've had it up to here. Mama preaches to me all the time and daddy preaches to me all the time. Listen to me. As your pastor, I can tell you, mommy and daddy love you and they want to keep you from a whole lot of hell and a whole lot of heartache. I know you don't believe that, but when you get a little older, you'll look back and say, hallelujah, I had a daddy and a mama that loved me enough to not let me live like a heathen and go astray like a devil. Some of us parents, we need to get some backbone, start stepping up. It's not too late. I said it's not too late. I know my time's gone, but I'm having fun. I'm not saying that sarcastically. I'm telling the truth. God's in this place. God's speaking hearts today. You know it. The Lord's already hit us between the eyes, hadn't he? The Lord's already convicted us. Our toes are stepped on today. Mine are. Keep in mind, when I prepare a message, God wears me out. Can y'all hear me? God wears me out. So I say, Lord, hey, last but not least, mission-minded mama. I heard about a lady that was dying. Her name was Rebecca, 32 years old. You know what she did? She was dying with cancer. She recorded a tape. She said, I don't want to die, but if I do have to die, I want to tell my children when they turn 16 what they need to know. Then I want to tell them when they're 18 what they need to know. And then when they get married, I want to leave a recording for them. This mama knew she was dying, but she wanted to leave a recording for her children. And Then all of a sudden, as she was dying, she realized one thing she didn't tell them, and that was how to die. She said, I got a recording for my children. She did. Tell me, are you leaving a lasting legacy? Last but not least, my time's gone. It was John the Baptist. Last but not least, a mercy-motivated mama. And I'll be short. This dear lady right here in Matthew chapter number 15. Anybody got a child that needs God to really work on them? This dear woman in Matthew 15, Syrophoenician woman, she said, Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on my daughter. She's grievously vexed with the devil. How many believe demons are real? Let me tell you something. Here's three principles you don't want to lose, you don't forget, all right? If we're going to be merciful, motivated mamas, and if we're going to see God work in our life, number one, remember, great faith has to start somewhere. Great faith has to start somewhere. Where does it start? That dear mama knew where to go. And do you know where to go today? Great faith has got to start somewhere. Faith of a mustard seed. Number two, not only great faith must start somewhere, but note this too, that great faith gets Jesus involved with your situation. Amen. You need to get God involved in your situation. Amen. How many know that if you don't get God, if you don't get Jesus involved in your situation, it ain't going to work? How many are going to get God involved in your situation? You hadn't been praying about this thing. You hadn't been putting it to the Lord. This mama knew that if she was going to get a breakthrough, she needed Jesus involved. We need Jesus to get involved in our children, right? We need Jesus to get involved in our life, right? We need Jesus to get involved with our families, right? Yes. And so, Jesus acted like he didn't hear. He walked right by her. And you know what he said? He said, I've come to the house of Israel. And you know what she said? Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And you know what Jesus said? It's not meat to give bread to the dogs. Sounds like a cut down, doesn't it? Do you know what she said? Great faith doesn't give up. That's number three. Great faith does not give up. Great faith does not give up. You know what she said? She said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed off the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I like that, don't you? She's not going to give up. Jesus looked at her and said, woman, I've not found so great a faith in all of Israel. So be it according to your faith. There's only two times in the Bible where Jesus said about great faith. And one was the place with the centurion in Matthew 8. And now here's the second place. How many want to have great faith? Oh, great faith starts somewhere today. God's put a seed in your heart today. God's put a thought in your heart today. God's giving you his vision today. God's telling you what he's going to do in your life and your family today. It's got to start somewhere. And then great faith gets Jesus involved. Maybe you need to get with the Lord today. And then great faith doesn't give up. It doesn't give up. It doesn't give up. Last, and I'm done. We're not having church tonight, by the way, so. Mamas, you're important to God. Mamas, you're important to God. And you mamas to be. If it's the Lord's will for you to be a mama, you're important to God. Can I get some help? I said, can I get some help? Amen. Grandmamas are important. You just think, well, I'm at the end of life and my life's over and you know, I don't have a lot of influence. You do. All them gray hairs, look at them, and all of that. Can I get an amen? Amen. Come on, amen. Give me an amen. Mamas, you're important. The hand, watch this, The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. But I want you to leave you with this. Don't miss it. Don't miss this right here. I felt like this was absolutely important. Look at this. Look at this. I want to leave you with this, beloved, in case I did a poor job today. Proverbs 31 isn't about being perfect. Proverbs 31 is about the virtuous woman. But it's about living a life that's focused on the one, only one who is Jesus. Woo! Glory. Isn't that wonderful? Let's stand together.